This is Bob Sugarman.
And Sally Sugarman.
And welcome back to Theater Talk.
Our three guests today are members of the cast of the Dorset Players production, Watson, the last great tale of the legendary Sherlock Holmes, which opens this Friday and runs through March 15th. There will be performances Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 and Sundays as 2. As Sherlockians, we and fellow members of our Baker Street Breakfast Club look forward to the show. And we're going to see it on Sunday, and we're very excited about it. Mike McCord, whom we first saw on the Dorset stage in the musical She Loves Me, will be playing Sherlock Holmes, who, as we understand, is not the central character in this production. Mike, tell us about that.
Well, first of all, thank goodness. the show is called Watson, so, I figure after 100 years or so, it's finally time he gets his due. Paul Michael Brinker is playing Watson in our production, and he is beyond brilliant in this role. The show is told from the perspective of Watson as he's sort of reliving and recounting the last encounter that he had had with Sherlock and their last adventure together, which is not as it was represented in his final story. So it's a bit of a change. So not necessarily canonical for the Sherlockians out there, but still a lot of fun, I think.
Well, tell us how you like playing Sherlock.
I was saying to Sally off the air that there's a lot of pressure because there are some people who are really quite passionate about Sherlock, and I hope I don't mess it up. Frankly, it's a lot of fun. It's such a fun role, and there are so many things to try and keep in mind, and so many angles to play on the character because he can be just full of hubris and he's simultaneously brilliant and he's a little crazy, and you sort of have to do all those things at once. So it's a tricky role to play, but it is a lot of fun.
We take it then that this play is a comic, if not farcical, version of Sherlock Holmes' world. So that's kind of interesting. And as I think I said, most Holmesians or Sherlockians have a sense of humor. Another of our guests, Caroline Hogan, will be playing Sigmund Freud. Caroline, tell us about this. As you approach playing the great psychoanalyst, are you Holmes? Are you Freud as Freud, or Freud as Mrs. Freud, or whatever? Tell us about it.
No, I'm definitely Sigmund Freud. The script leaves it open to be cast either as a male or a female, and the director decided to go along with the kind of offbeat color of the whole script to just cast it as a woman.
So how do you like playing the role?
So tell us, Doctor, how do you like it?
Just tell us in your own words, Doctor.
I like getting to use the German accent and to speak a little bit of German in the play, and I get to push Holmes around in this one scene. That's basically what I do, is push him around.
Is there anything in this that resembles the Freud that we saw in the 7% Solution?
I'm not familiar with that one. That is one of the few that I have not read or seen.
There was Alan Arkin being the most adorable Sigmund Freud. He was like a puppy dog. He was so cute.
No, this isn't cute.
Good.
She's a little more vicious than a puppy dog. I being on the other side of her dialogue, a little more vicious than a puppy dog.
Yes.
Well, you might want to look at the film after you've done the production, although it was a very important book in terms of instituting a big revival at the time that it was published.
Nicholas, that was like the first big pastiche, and since then they haven't stopped coming.
Well, it was the first big pastiche in a while. I mean, it really did introduce a major figure, and we had the pleasure of having Nicholas Meyer at our first Sherlock Holmes conference here in Bennington. So,
it's true. Our third guest is Jonathan White, who will be Moriarty. Someone once said, "The devil always has the best lines." Tell us about your Moriarty.
I don't know if I have the best lines. I think I have the best character. And I really enjoy playing an evil character, because it's something you don't get to display in your everyday life. We all walk around smiling at each other and saying nice things, but what's really going on in our heads? I get to exhibit that side of human nature, which is sort of hidden from society most of the time. It's my character really is very good at hiding his evil in the beginning until it suits his purposes to display it. So it's a lot of fun to go back and forth. I see him as just like a total psychopath. He's barely got this thin veneer that covers up his raging evil inside.
Oh, that sounds good.
But he's also a brilliant man. I mean, yes. One of the fascinating things about one of the fascinating things about the canon is that you meet a character like Moriarty in only one story, but he lives forever.
Everybody thinks of him.
He is the arch villain of all villains. Have you ever seen any of the films, and who's your favorite Moriarty?
To tell you the truth, I haven't seen a lot of the films. I did see 7% Solution, and I really enjoyed that. I think Laurence Olivier was actually Moriarty in that film. But one of the good things about being able to play Moriarty is I can do what I want with him, and people don't have a real fixed idea in their mind because he doesn't really appear in the movies or the stories very often. He's a definite character, but an unseen character, you know, in the story. So I'm just doing with him as the script sort of informs me in my own evil mind to present him. So
here we are in the 21st century. How did you and your director go about creating the Victorian world of the play? It really was quite different.
I'm not sure that he's really created a Victorian world, or that's even appropriate to this particular play and production.
Yeah,
it's kind of vaguely Victorian, but
right. Yes, it has sort of a Victorian aura, but there's not scenery in the classic sense. The costumes we try to make sort of Victorian looking, but the scenery is just all trunks and bookcases and props and things that you would see on a stage, but rearranged constantly to make the scenes change from place to place. The trunks, the bookcases, the boxes are all rearranged in different shapes and forms by stagehands, which stay on the stage and play different characters throughout the production. That's quite interesting in that regard.
Well, that's good. I'm not a fan of sets, and I always love shows that de-emphasize them and leave more to the imagination of the audience. Let them do it.
I think that if we did a literal interpretation of the sets as they're called for in the script, it would be the most expensive theatrical production in the history of the world.
How long have each of you been working with the Dorset Players, and what capacities? I know, Mike, you just joined with She Loves Me.
Yes.
Have you worked with them before?
I've been working with the Dorset Players since March of 2013 in The Crucible. That was my first show there. And I've mostly been an actor, except for this past fall when I stage managed for The Heiress, which was directed by Paul Michael Brinker, who's now playing Watson.
And a wonderful production.
It was a wonderful production. Right. We enjoyed it greatly.
So I've just moved into the area about a year ago. My first appearance with the Dorset Players was last December, Miracle on 34th Street. My first acting role since, back in the 80s, been about 25 years since I'd done any acting, which what I had originally intended to do with my life, but as life happens to you, things go different directions, so...
That's the story of a number of people who associated with it, with Dorset Players over the years. Like Tom Ferguson was in hiatus for many, many years, and and you too, Mike.
Yeah.
Well, it's wonderful that there is the Dorset Players, that you can come out of your hiatus and we can have the pleasure of watching you acting. So we're going to take a quick break for word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.